it's good to hear them talk about needing more what's called baseload energy, which means reliable and consistently generated electricity. That's good. But while they're talking about it, the actual legislation that they're putting forth is the same old, tried, sorry, green energy failed policy that Democrats have been putting forward that got us into this mess in the first place.
Welcome to Straight to the Point. I'm your host, Representative Joe DiOrsi. In a world of long-windedness, I'm here to deliver you the Capitol News in 10 minutes or less. So let's get straight to the point. So welcome to the Straight to the Point podcast. This is Representative Joe DiOrsi, and I have a special guest phoning in here from Beaver County. He's the 15th Legislative District's pride and joy, Josh Kale, representing Beaver and Washington counties. Josh, thanks for joining.
Representative DiOrsi, Joe, thank you so much for having me. It's always good to get straight to the point and have a good conversation with you today.
So we're going to talk about energy. You are one of the leaders in the Republican caucus and in the General Assembly, really, on the topic of energy. First, tell me about your district and why tell me about how it's an energy hub and why you're so passionate about it.
My district is a very energy-centric district. Of course, everybody knows about the natural gas that's coming out of western Pennsylvania and northeastern Pennsylvania, but my district actually is one of the most voluminous exporters or actually extractors of natural gas in the entire state, if not in the entire state. So there's a lot of natural gas extraction occurring within my district, but there's also coal mines in the southern part of my district. And this is a really cool fact, the very first commercially used nuclear power plant is in my district. President Eisenhower was here in Shippingport when it opened in 1956, I believe. Now, there's a nuclear plant still in that area. It's not exactly the same plant that President Eisenhower is at, but it's the same concept. So we have a long, rich history of electrical generation in the 15th Legislative District, and it's because that generation supported the steel mills that used to be here up and down the river and all the other manufacturing assets. So with our natural gas and with our coal and with our nuclear, there is a long, rich history within the 15th Legislative District in all three of those fields.
So Pennsylvania at large, certainly in your area, Beaver, Washington County's western Pennsylvania, the northern tier, we have a great energy legacy. I think we're still the second, number two exporter of energy in the United States behind Texas. Electric prices at the same time are top of mind for a lot of constituents. Tell me about this win last budget cycle and what that means for Pennsylvania Energy for us to have withdrawn from the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative.
Well, absolutely critical, Joe. The Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative was a wet blanket on our electric grid. And basically, there was not a single announcement of a new generation facility, meaning a natural gas facility or coal fire facility, since Governor Wolf tried getting us into this Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative. And what that means, at the same time, there's been multiple shutdowns of different plants, whether it was a nuclear plant in South Central Pennsylvania or coal fire plants all over the state. At the same time, there is a push to electrify everything, right? There's a growing demand for electricity. We are plugging more things in. We have more devices at home. We're using electricity for cars, for stoves, for furnaces. And there's been a real incentive to do so from the federal government under the Biden administration. And think about how crazy this is. Think about how ludicrous this energy policy that we've seen over the last 10 years is. On the one hand, we are decreasing our ability to generate electricity. So we are getting less and less and less supply. While on the other hand, we are increasing our demand for electricity by subsidizing sources that are electrified, like cars and stoves and ovens and furnaces. This is a slow motion train wreck happening right in front of us. And I always want to make this point when we're talking about this. This occurring in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, a place where we have abundance in coal, abundance of natural gas. We have a strong, rich history with nuclear energy. This happening in Pennsylvania is nothing short than political malpractice. The fact that we are talking about brownouts and blackouts and soaring costs of electricity in a state that is so rich in natural resources that generate electricity cheaply and reliably, like coal and natural gas, is political malpractice, and it's the cause of Democrat energy policy over the course of the last 10 years. Look, there has been a lot of blame that's gone around. It seems like the Democrat caucus and also the governor is looking for a new boogeyman every week in the energy space, whether it's a utility company CEO, whether it's PJM or some other, you know, boogeyman. But really, if they want to find the boogeyman, it's very simple for them. All they need to do is look in the mirror. They are the ones that have caused this problem. It is not data centers. It is not PJM. It is not the CEOs of utility companies, although all of them play a role within this process, right? At the end of the day, the reason we are where we are is because we have not been generating electricity, base load electricity, which means reliable and consistent electricity that we can do from our coal and our natural gas. We have been fighting this fight in the House Republican Caucus since I got into office 8 years ago. We've been talking about this. We've been fighting on it. We've been warning about this. There's press conferences that I've been a part of, that my colleagues have been a part of, from, you know, 6, 7, 8 years ago, saying we're going to head up with brownouts. We're going to have blackouts. This is not a good situation to be in. And sure enough, we are getting to that point. And now, all of a sudden, the House Democrats want to start talking about this. The administration wants to start talking about it, which is great. It's good to hear them talk about needing more what's called baseload energy, which means reliable and consistently generated electricity. That's good. But while they're talking about it, the actual legislation that they're putting forth is the same old, tried, sorry, green energy failed policy that Democrats have been putting forward that got us into this mess in the first place. We need a new direction in Harrisburg, and that's what we're trying to do with this legislative package of bills that we put forward here last week.
Yeah, so let's talk about that 11-bill package, Josh. So we have last budget cycle, the withdrawal of Reggie. That's a phase one win. But we're talking about phase two and three wins here. You know, we still hear from constituents every day, every week about rising utility costs. We see it on our own bills at home. I believe you may have the solution here. So what's contained in this 11-bill package, and how can it help ratepayers at home?
So, I mean, there's two primary functions of this bill package. The two commitments of this package is to keep the lights on and the cost down. So we want to keep the lights on with a reliable grid and the cost down with affordable energy, the skyrocketing costs. So this package seeks to do that and will, in fact, do it in the short term, but more importantly, for the long-term stability of our electric grid and the long-term cost for our constituents. So basically, there's three separate things that this package of bills sets out to do. Number one is to leverage our own natural resources. We want to make sure we are getting the most out of our coal resources, out of our natural gas resources, out of our nuclear capabilities within the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Because the closer you can get your source of energy, the more affordable it is going to be. And on top of that, that energy is the most reliable energy in the world. So if we want to keep the lights on, the cost down, we need to start using more Pennsylvania natural gas and coal. So our package of bills aims towards that. Number two, and this is a big component and starting to get a little bit into the weeds, but it's very important. We want stability in the regulatory space. A lot of developers of these big natural gas or coal-fired plants have come to us, and we talked to a lot of different stakeholders about how could we get to a point where you guys are announcing new developments in the Commonwealth? Like, what's it going to take so that we can have more electrical generation that's affordable and reliable? And one of the things they uniformly told us was stability in the regulatory environment. Meaning they're okay with dealing with permits and regulations and things of that nature. What is a problem for them is how often these rules change. And so my bill in particular, actually what it does is ensures that once you apply for a permit, the regulations stay the same for 25 years. So it gives some level of stability and certainty for developers. They said that would be a total game changer. Seems like a little change, but has a big result. And the third thing, and this is critical, Joe, this is absolutely critical for government across the board. I think it goes beyond just the energy space. But in particular, in the energy space, we are seeking to get government out of the business of experimenting within the energy market. Huge problem having legislators and bureaucrats making decisions about the future of energy. And they're making decisions on untried theories. They're making decisions on guesses of what could be next coming down the pike in the energy space. Let the market work. Use what we know works and let investors invest in future technologies. And once those futures technologies are ready for prime time and it economically makes sense, let's go. Let's do it. But we need to be all of the above for what works. And right now we know for certain that coal, natural gas, and nuclear are what work. So those three things are the primary functions of this bill package. But the overall purpose, and to take a step back, it's all about affordability and reliability. It's all about keeping those lights on and costs down. And that's the new direction that Harrisburg needs to get locked in on.
Yeah, so lightning round question here for you, Josh. So we export a lot of energy elsewhere. We're number two exporter again in the United States. We send a lot to Maryland. We send a lot to Virginia. Now, these are states that generate less. They actually have these left-leaning policies that de-incentivize, new plants coming online. How do we, in the lens of just kind of understanding PJM being the facilitator for the 13, states in our region, how do we prioritize Pennsylvanians when it comes to the prices they're paying on their bills since we're generating it here?
So we are working on some way to constitutionally, because there are some interstate commerce issues associated with it, of adding a fee towards states that artificially basically reverse subsidize their ability to generate affordable energy. So they're destroying the grid, and that impacts us because PJM has the same grid. And so we have more of a load to carry. I think it's important to note that PJM is certainly, been a problem in this whole process, right? But it's mainly been a problem because they have been beholden to left energy policies that have been destroying the grid. And I get such a kick out of this when it comes to the Democrats now complaining about brownouts and blackouts and rising costs of electricity. I used to say, Joe, that the Democrats complaining about the electric situation or the grid is like the arsonist complaining about the fire. Well, now what I tell people with the policies that they're putting into place, these Democrats, and they're trying to do even more of, it's like the arsonist trying to put the fire out by throwing gasoline on it. That's what they're doing. That's what the governor is doing with this PACER program. That's what Democrats in New Jersey and Maryland are doing. They're complaining about the rising cost, and then they're trying to implement policies that are actually going to make it worse. It's actually quite remarkable, and I am concerned. I'm concerned the only thing that is going to wake these people up on the left is when there is a tragedy, when there is some sort of disaster that occurs on the grid because we don't have the supply to meet the demand, and then people are going to suffer, and that's what it's going to take. Hopefully, it doesn't get there. Hopefully, we can turn that corner now. There's still time, but we need to get locked in, and we need to focus on keeping the lights on and the cost down, and we need to start implementing the precepts of this package of bills.
Solar and wind, of course, are options, but you and I both know they're the least reliable type of option to power the grid, Josh, and we sit on so much natural resources, like you mentioned. An anecdote from my neck of the woods, Talon Energy operates Brunner Island here in East Manchester Township on the river. It's a coal and natural gas plant, so it it has the ability to switch to coal when it becomes more economical. Usually that's in the winter because it's tougher in cold temperatures to pump that liquefied natural gas on site. But they plan to phase out the coal. So I guess my final question to you is, and it's you know, kind of more of a global question, what happens during a cold spell when coal is no longer an option? How do we power our homes?
The real issue. I mean, we need a diversified baseload grid, meaning we need coal, we need natural gas, and we need nuclear. And we saw this in Pennsylvania about 4 years ago, where the grid almost collapsed during a cold spell, and it was because of the nuclear or the coal plants that were still running was the only reason it didn't. And then we saw what happened in Texas as well, where they did have a disaster, and it was because the renewables just stopped working, and there was a situation that just was not feasible for the grid to operate on, and a lot of people ended up dying because of this. I think it's important to note one last thing I do want to touch on, and I think it's important to note, and I always want to touch on this. You talked about renewables and solar and wind. Not only are they not economical, not only are they not reliable, but they're also universally built overseas, and almost all of them are built by our adversary, China. So we are paying more, we are getting less, and we are enriching our adversary. What part of this process is good for the constituents of Pennsylvania? And by the way, it's worse for our environment. And that takes a little more time to dig into, but the environmental harm it takes to get the materials to build these things is dramatic.
And the disposal of them.
And the disposal of them, and it's something we need to talk about more. It is a lose, lose, lose proposition. When we use our own natural gas and our own coal, our workers are winning, our consumers are winning, and our grid is winning. We need to get focused on it.
He's Representative Josh Kale. He's the energy guru up here in Harrisburg, representing the 15th and Beaver in Washington counties. Josh, thanks again for coming on.
Anytime, Joe. Thank you for having me.
This has been Straight to the Point. Visit repjod.com/mypodcasts.